Let's shift to a cluster of stories that cover different territory: open source hardware, material science, cognitive research, and some genuinely interesting cultural data. Starting with Risk Boy, which I think is a lovely project.
Risk Boy is an open source portable games console designed entirely from scratch. Not designed from scratch, using commercially available dev boards. Actually designed from the transistor level up. Implemented on an FPGA with a custom RISC-V softcore processor, and with the entire hardware description language source code available on GitHub. The score was 150 with 21 comments.
What makes this technically impressive is that it's not using any black box IP cores. The RISC-V processor implementation, the display controller, the audio pipeline, all of it is written in Verilog and available for inspection and modification. In an era where most hardware contains enormous amounts of proprietary firmware, a fully open hardware gaming device is genuinely rare.
The comments note that it's still very much a hobbyist project. The bill of materials cost is high compared to a commercial device, and you need FPGA development experience to do anything interesting with it. But as an educational platform and as a proof of concept that you can build real consumer hardware on entirely open specifications, it's significant. The RISC-V instruction set architecture being open is a prerequisite for this kind of project. 5 years ago, building an open console would have required either ARM licensing fees or building on a truly niche architecture.
The long COVID research finding is the one that deserves the most serious attention in this segment. An autopsy study presented at a major pathology conference found replicating SARS-CoV-2 in the heart tissue of patients with long COVID. The HN score was 72 with 3 comments, low comment count, probably because the paper is technical and behind a conference abstract paywall.
The significance here is the word replicating. We've known for some time that viral RNA fragments persist in tissues of long COVID patients, but RNA fragments can be residue from the original infection and don't prove the virus is still active. Finding evidence of active viral replication in cardiac tissue months or years after the initial infection is a different claim and a more concerning one. It suggests the virus may not be fully cleared in some patients and could be causing ongoing inflammation or damage.
The cardiac angle matters clinically because myocarditis, heart muscle inflammation, has been documented as a long COVID symptom, and there's been debate about whether it's being caused by immune dysregulation triggered by the initial infection or by ongoing viral presence. If the virus is actively replicating in heart tissue, that points toward very different treatment approaches, potentially antiviral therapies rather than purely immunomodulatory ones.
Caveat that this is conference abstract level evidence, not a peer-reviewed longitudinal study. Autopsy studies have inherent selection biases. The people who died are not representative of the long COVID population. But as a signal worth pursuing with larger studies, this is significant, and the lack of mainstream media coverage is notable.
The material science finding about liquid fracture is one of those results that makes you think carefully about what you thought you knew. Quantum Magazine covered a study showing that simple liquids, we're talking water, not polymers or complex fluids, can fracture under certain high strain rate conditions. The HN score was 94, with 47 comments.
Classical fluid mechanics defines liquids by their inability to sustain shear stress. Liquids flow, solids fracture, and that's the distinction. What this research found is that when you pull a liquid apart faster than its molecular relaxation time, the time it takes molecules to rearrange in response to stress, the material temporarily behaves as though it were solid and can fracture. The fracture surfaces then immediately relax back into liquid droplets.
The experimental setup involved high-speed laser cavitation, essentially using a focused laser pulse to create a rapidly expanding bubble in a liquid and measuring the mechanical response at timescales of nanoseconds. The HN comments include some excellent discussion from people with fluid dynamics backgrounds about whether this was genuinely surprising or just experimentally confirming behavior that was theoretically predicted but never directly observed at this timescale.
The practical implications are real for shockwave medicine, specifically for therapeutic ultrasound and lithotripsy, the medical procedure that uses shockwaves to break up kidney stones. Understanding exactly how fluids respond to high strain rate stress at tissue interfaces could improve the precision of those procedures.
The cultural data study is the last one I want to hit in this segment. Researchers analyzed billions of sketches, specifically drawing data from Google's QuickDraw dataset, which has over a billion human drawings collected through a game, and found systematic, culturally driven variation in how people from different countries conceptualize the same objects. The ArcSieve paper scored 104 points with 17 comments.
The methodology here is elegant. When you ask someone from Japan to quickly draw a chair and someone from the United States to draw a chair, the resulting sketches differ in systematic ways, in which features are emphasized, in the canonical orientation chosen, in which type of chair is considered the default mental image. By analyzing a billion examples across dozens of countries, the researchers could map these conceptual variations with statistical precision.
The implications for AI systems trained on this kind of data are significant. If your training data is disproportionately from certain cultural contexts, your model will learn those cultural defaults as if they were universal. A model trained mostly on American sketch data might learn a very specific prototype for chair that doesn't match the mental models of users in other cultural contexts. And that mismatch will propagate into any downstream application that uses the model.
The comments thread explored the connection to DALL-E and image generation models, which consistently produce culturally inflected outputs even when the prompts are neutral. Someone asked for a village and got American suburb aesthetics. Someone asked for traditional food and got cuisine dominated by whatever was overrepresented in the training set. This study gives us a principled vocabulary for describing and measuring that bias, rather than just observing it anecdotally.